Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing putting money in its proper place.
Everything in its right place. You like that song?
I don't know.
Everything in its right place. That's like, I think it's a Radiohead song from Amnesiac, maybe? One of my favorite albums, by the way.
Okay. I haven't really gotten into Radiohead very much.
Radiohead is one of those bands I used to listen to a ton, but...
You can serenade me any day of the week, though, by the way.
I was trying to bust out my falsetto, my Thom Yorke falsetto. But no, we are talking about money. Everything does have a correct place, and money in particular. We're gonna put money in its proper place during this episode, because it's one of those things, it's like one of these monsters that when you give it a little bit of free rein, once it starts roaming around unchecked, it can start to take over your entire life.
Yeah, man. And you might think the guys that host the show, How to Money, think money takes the top spot, but no, indeed, we do not.
That's right, man. But before we get to our topic today, we need to share the winners of our $1,000 giveaway. We announced this on last Friday's episode that we wanted to give away $100 to 10 different people to do some good within your communities. And so that entry period is over. Comments are closed, and here are the 10 winners for that cash money giveaway.
All right, Matt, I'll kick it off. Lindsay B. Goodwin, TCD underscore Techno Kitten. That's probably my favorite of the names. Ronak underscore Savla, the Daisy dot life, and MB Real underscore Fate.
That's right. That's the first five. I got five more. We've got A.H. Rubish, Mary Ate the Little Lamb. That's actually my favorite. The Unsetting Sun, Architect 4464, and Smoothie. So we will be reaching out to y'all via Instagram, but we wanted to announce the winners here on the show. Thank y'all for participating, and thank you to everybody for participating. And generally speaking, I think this has shed a lot of light on the different organizations in need who we can contribute to.
Yeah, man, I think this is just so cool. I'm so excited that, speaking of putting money in its proper place, you and I get to put our money where our mouth is. We get to give away some of our own money. And you know, we've talked about the importance of giving in the past many times. That's a crucial aspect of making money and putting it in its proper place, is giving it away. Mm-hmm. And I'm just super excited to see what these 10 people do in their community with this money. And yeah, we'll report back, because it's going to be a lot of fun to see how much good that money does.
That's right, man. Let's go ahead and introduce the beer that we're going to enjoy during this episode. This is a beer called Hazy, like Jay-Z, which you you pointed out before we started recording. And this is by Temblor Brewing Company. Thanks to Ryan and our friends there at the brewery for donating this one to the show.
No doubt. All right, Matt. So now, you just mentioned the beer that we're having, and the episode we're talking about today is putting money in its proper place. And you know what this made me think of? Just both those things combined.
Tell me.
You've heard like the phrase that an apple a day keeps a doctor away, right?
Of course.
Well, for the adult version of that, some people have said, is a glass of wine.
Okay. I thought you were going to say a craft beer a day.
I wish. I don't think it's quite as healthy as a glass of wine. A lot of studies have been done, and you know, we don't actually have conclusive evidence about the long-term effects of moderate drinking. But I would say it seems safe to say that a single glass of wine with dinner doesn't have negative long-term effects.
Right.
And it could be beneficial in providing antioxidants, as well as protecting against heart disease and inflammation.
Those are all the studies that I like to read, ones that say just a little bit of this, it's actually good for you.
Basically a little bit of that confirmation bias, you know, finding the studies that agree with the way I think. But of course, if that habit turns into a bottle of wine a day, we're talking about potentially severe consequences for someone, right? So if a glass turns into a bottle, it all of a sudden becomes a really big deal. And what's good in moderation can become absolutely wretched if it gets overdone. And the same, we would say, is true with money, right? It's less about how much money you actually have, but it's more about how the role that money plays in your life. And that's what we want to talk about today.
Yeah, this might be weird, but you know, we're actually attempting to de-emphasize something that we talk about 3 days a week, every single week, because you know, we believe that money is a helpful tool. This makes me think of my father-in-law, because he recently had a trip to the emergency room. He had a little run-in with a table saw.
Oh,
and that's not to say that now all table saws are bad, but the way he was using the saw led to him having to go to the hospital. It comes down to using the right tool for the right job, obviously making sure that we're careful with those tools. But we feel that money is a helpful tool, and it's also an essential one. But we also believe that beyond a certain point, more money isn't going to solve all of our problems, even though we might be tempted to think so. Really, money is only one component of our overall health and happiness levels. So for instance, Joel, you know, you mentioned that glass of wine that might provide a small boost to your overall levels of health, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't ride your bike more, or that maybe you should stop doing your push-ups, whatever you're doing to try to stay healthy.
Yeah, even if eating that apple or drinking that glass of wine is somewhat moderately helpful to your, you know, to boosting your overall levels of health, you still got to do those other things. Those are more important.
Exactly. Getting your finances in order overall, that's an important part of a healthy life. We want to be a part of helping you make progress in that direction. That is our main focus. But we also want to talk about the limitations of money when it comes to your happiness. And with this episode coming out towards the end of the year, I don't know, it's kind of fun to swing the other direction when every single week we're talking about the importance of money, the importance of making wise financial decisions. There are also some of these other things that you need to keep in mind as well.
Yeah, we want people to learn about the benefits of house hacking. We want to help people figure out how to invest, you know, which accounts they should be investing in to get the maximum reward, to lower their taxes, and to build up a strong net worth for their future. But at the same time, like, if that's all you're focused on, you're missing out. And yep, especially this time of year, we're all of us, we're focusing on really important things like time together with the family, like time away from work. We're prioritizing, yes, different things. And so, yeah, that's why we were like, didn't we have to talk about all these other things and how, you know, if we actually over pursue money, if we're overthinking it, then we're going to miss out on things that really matter.
That's right.
And it makes me think, Matt, of like athletes switching teams for a few million dollars more, like somebody who signs a $270 million contract as opposed to taking that hometown discount and playing 10 years for $255 million instead. And I'm like, you know, both of those sums are mind-boggling, and I can't really imagine making that much money for playing a game. But yeah, why would you move? It makes me, when I see that happen, I'm always like, why would that person move for a 5% pay bump,
right,
when they're already making more money than they'll ever need, than they'll ever be able to spend? And when I think about it, I think it all comes down to what you're optimizing for. In this case, that person is optimizing for money.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they haven't thought through it long enough, or maybe they have. Maybe that's actually where they want to go play. They prefer to be in that state or whatever. But so many athletes you see make this move for money. They go to a losing team, or they opt out of a community where they were invested, and it leads to lower life satisfaction overall, right? Other negative consequences. And really, this doesn't just apply to, you know, high dollar athletes. This can apply to anyone who's moving to a new state. Let's say their sole desire is to lower the amount they pay in taxes, and they say, I'm moving to Florida, or I'm moving to Tennessee, because they don't have a state income tax. And you leave,
which is attractive.
Right. It is. I get it. But you leave all your friends and family behind, yeah, for that one decision to optimize money. It's probably going to lead to less happiness in the long run. And so it's not that money should not be a factor in how you make decisions, but it also shouldn't be the sole deciding factor either, because there's a whole lot more to life,
yeah,
than just money.
Yeah. There's only so much that money can do for you. There are a lot of other things you need to take into account. And, you know, let's talk about COVID. Let's bring the pandemic into this for a second, because 73% of Americans say that the pandemic has affected their life in a meaningful way. Many folks lost a loved one, and that's obviously a stunning impact. But even those of us who were fortunate enough to not lose someone close to us, the pandemic acted in many ways as a force for change. And much of that change has actually been good, you know, from quitting a job that you don't like, maybe that you hate, to spending more time with your family. The changes that COVID brought about are many. And for a lot of us, it has provided additional happiness by just cutting out a lot of the fluff in our lives that we no longer need. COVID was pretty devastating to our lives and to our economy, but I feel like this is one really small silver lining, is the fact that it already caused us to kind of reevaluate and to put certain things like money in its proper place.
Yeah, we said this, maybe it was even a year ago, Matt, but like, if you haven't been able to find a silver lining from COVID, then maybe you haven't been looking hard enough, because most of us, my calendar got cleared in a big way, and you know, we've gone on more family hikes in the past 18 months than we've ever taken before, and done
You're
more.
Like, I guess I'm a hiker now, because this is something we're doing.
Yeah, we've done more family picnics. Like, there have been all these things, these ways that we've adjusted our lives, and it's not that it hasn't been really hard in so many different ways. And I know that, that each of us have had our own burdens during COVID times. But yeah, there have been many silver linings at the same time. And yeah, while we're talking about putting money in its proper place, and so much of this comes down to like meaning and what provides us meaning. And there was a Pew Research study done, just came out literally at the end of last month. And I thought some of like what that had to say was really helpful and informative for this episode. And it turns out family, friends, and occupation took the top three spots for providing meaning in most countries around the world when people were studied, when people were asked that question. Material well-being was a close fourth. And so, of course, again, it's not that money is not important. You read that and you're like, yeah, of course. Like people want to be in a warm home. They want to be well-fed. They want to have clothes on their back. And so it's not that that is not important. But when you look at it in the context of the answers to these questions, it still comes in fourth place. And I thought that said a lot because, a lack of money, it certainly creates quite a bit of difficulty for the person who doesn't have enough, right? It's hard to get that meaningful time with your family if you're wondering where your next meal is going to come from.
Right.
Or if you're the person who's working 60 plus hours a week in order to make ends meet, same thing, right? And let's say you're the person living with boatloads of debt or with very little or no financial margin. You're kind of living on that financial precipice. You are one of those people who, the Federal Reserve says doesn't have $400 to cover an emergency. Well, it's going to impact your mental health and potentially your physical health too, all leading to lower levels of happiness and meaning. So yeah, money's not unimportant, but yeah, it's interesting to see when you look at the stats about what things provide the most meaning, money is fourth on the list really when it comes down to it.
Right. Yeah. So while money has an important role to play, it isn't everything. And so we're actually going to delve into some of the other facets of life that need to be considered and, you know, how an overemphasis on money can impact our overall levels of happiness. And we'll actually offer a litmus test later on in the episode as well for ensuring that money is playing a proper role in your life. And we'll get to all of that right after this.
All right, Matt, let's get back to it. Let's talk about money.
Let's.
Putting it in its proper place. And yeah, if we elevate money above everything else, we're going to be pretty tyrannical, awful, hard people, I think, right?
I was waiting for you to sing your song after I did my
no, I don't do that.
My little number.
I don't have the vocal talents that you have, so I'll refrain.
Nor do I, as everyone found out earlier.
Well, yeah, let's talk about some of like the most important facets of life, where if we let money overtake these things in order of importance, we're all bound to lose in the end. And yeah, the first one that's worth talking about is physical health, because focusing too much on money can cause you to neglect your physical health. And yeah, since physical health is in the top five in that Pew Research study that we just mentioned before the break, you want to make sure that you don't take that one for granted. Matt, I just recently read Ross Douthat's new book about the years of hardship that he endured after contracting Lyme disease. He's a New York Times writer, and it was just like, one, he's a good writer, and two, just kind of like a fascinating to get a peek under the hood of the trauma that he's dealt with essentially in the last 5 years.
Right.
Basically, he was 100% healthy one day, and then intense chronic pain came into his life, and it didn't leave. Mm. And there was like no day that he wasn't ravaged by just feeling terrible. And yeah. Just...
Dude, Lyme disease seems like one of those things that's just terrible. Like, I hear more accounts of people who deal with that, and it's something oftentimes that they are dealing with for years.
Yeah, and we know so little about it.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things he goes into in the book.
How it's a mystery.
Yeah, and there's all these kind of off the beaten path ways that people who have Lyme disease try to deal with it, and many of which the medical establishment says frowns upon. They're right. Like, no, you shouldn't do that. And they're kind of some oddball tactics that he ends up using in the book and really trying to come up with his own cocktail to diagnose himself or to serve himself in order to hopefully feel a little bit better.
Is this a book recommendation?
It is, yes. Okay. I would say definitely read this book if you get a minute, because it's great. What really I get from reading books like this, stories like this provide me a new kind of thankfulness for my healthy body, right? Knowing that it's not something I'm 100% going to have tomorrow. I'm not promised that tomorrow I'll wake up and I feel great.
I might wake up tomorrow with a tick on your chest.
Potentially.
Or wherever they bite you.
They like to
go to the dark, warm areas like your armpit.
Or
your crotch.
Back of your neck, I think, too.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Behind the ear.
Yeah. I would say this, like, one, know that you're not promised health, and so be thankful for it. And two, if you find yourself working too much, not taking care of your body the way you should, it's time to reconsider how much effort you're pouring into money making, because if you're optimizing for money, again, kind of like that professional athlete, maybe you're making the wrong ultimate decision, and there are other things that are worth optimizing for.
Yeah, I think a lot of times folks might think, oh, well, if I'm making a ton of money, well, then I can afford the best doctors and I can afford the best medicines. But doctors, they're not miracle workers. There are a lot of amazing drugs out there, but that doesn't necessarily guarantee that your health is going to be good, right? Just by getting a treatment. Like, you can't buy good health. And so that's one of the reasons that we're recommending for you to pay attention to your physical health now. Another end of the spectrum you might find yourself on is, like you might be so cheap that you're unwilling to, say, pay for that YMCA membership that would actually get you off the couch. There are just these different ways where, in an attempt to be wise with our money, as we're trying to be frugal, we can find ourselves going down that cheap path. And the other thing, too, to mention, like, you don't actually need a gym membership in order to prioritize, you know, working out. Like, just get a bike. Or you don't even need a bike, because even that costs money. Just go for a run. Get outside. Move your body. But we do understand how, you know, sometimes a little bit of skin in the game or finding a workout partner can make all the difference when it comes to finding some motivation for you. But we still want to point out overall that your physical health can be something that you neglect in the pursuit of more money. Something, Joel, that I feel like we've learned from our friend Carl Jensen. This is something he's written about on his blog, 1500 Days, many times, which is that while he was grinding it out during his 9-to-5 as a software developer, his physical health is something that he neglected, and he realized after he had reached financial independence that, man, this is something I could have been doing all these things while I was still working. It didn't take me becoming financially independent in order to take care of myself.
Yeah, and like you said, it doesn't necessarily take money, but sometimes the prioritization of money or the prioritization of saving more money prevents us from taking the action that we need to do to get healthy.
That's right.
And I think when we take a step back, our physical health is of primary importance in our lives. It should be. And if we're not treating it like that, then it's something that we need to rethink. And just hopefully this is a good reminder to say, all right, well, how are you prioritizing that right now? And mm-hmm. is money or your over prioritization of money maybe holding you back
totally.
In that realm?
Yep.
And another place, Matt, another realm of our lives that we sometimes let suffer because we're thinking about money too much or we're over prioritizing it is our mental health. And this might be a good chance to talk about hustle culture for a second. I'm not sure. I don't think it's quite as prevalent as it was a few years ago. I know Gary Vaynerchuk and some of his ilk made it sound like if you work 80 hours a week, man, all your dreams are going to come true. And I don't think that's true. But there was just this glamorizing of working until you plop into your bed exhausted trying to pursue your passion and just like working as hard as you possibly physically can. But that is still out there. That is still a thing. People are still drinking that Kool-Aid. And it's not, of course, that you and I, we're not anti-work. We think work is great. And we're all for working hard at something and pursuing something that you love too. And in some seasons, it makes sense to increase your hustle in order to accomplish a specific goal. Matt, there were times where buying that next rental property meant I was going to have to work a little bit harder. And, you know, going there after work to paint the interior walls was like a sacrifice of other things I could have been pursuing. I'm glad I did. But I would say nonstop hustle with no end in sight can also take this massive toll on your mind and body. And so if there's no stop to it, then you're going to experience some sort of burnout. So we'd say be careful not to fall into the trap of working more just because it's become a habit of hustling, because hustling is supposed to be cool. And we'd say, like, let yourself take a break.
Yeah, and I believe that so much of that mental health comes down to the levels of stress that we experience, which, I believe is greatly impacted by who it is that is calling the shots as to how hard it is that you're working, right? So imagine, like, on one hand, you've got your boss, and your boss is the one making you work, you know, 60, 70, 80 hours a week. That's going to feel a certain way if your goals aren't aligned necessarily with your boss's. But if it's you calling the shots, right? Like, if it's, like you said, like, there are stages of life sometimes that we're in and certain goals that we want to achieve. And dude, it is a complete shift when it is you, like when you are at the wheel and when you can make those decisions. And so I guess the takeaway here is that if you are in a situation like that where you're not the one calling the shots, then looking elsewhere, like the Great Resignation, this has been happening after COVID because a lot of folks have been able to reprioritize. They have been able to maybe put money in its proper place. And if that's you, you know, looking for a different position might be in the cards.
Yeah, and I think it's worth rethinking some of the goals maybe that you have and whether the sacrifice that it's going to take to get there is worth it. And sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't. And let's say your goal is to work in the C-suite someday or have this corner office and have like an upper management level position. And maybe you're realizing that if you're going to do it at the job that you're currently at, it's going to require some of those really lengthy work weeks and you're going to miss out on some other important things, including being healthy mentally. And so, yeah, if it's going to require all of these things from you, time away from family, maybe not attending your kids' sporting events, along with just your own mental sanity, you might have to like re-question some of those priorities that you had.
That's right. Yeah. Even if this is a goal that you had, and it's not your boss's, even if it's yours, you might find that your mental health might be suffering because of it. And so, you know, we feel that it might be helpful for you to ask yourself a question like what kind of mental state am I in after having hustled my butt off for the last year? Because, you know, working more doesn't necessarily make us more efficient. For instance, scientists have tried for years to see if we can still remain productive while sleeping less than the typical 8 hours a day. But they've consistently found that humans need between 7 and 9 hours of sleep a night in order to function their best. And so, you know, you'll probably find that in an effort to produce more, you sleep less, but then the opposite effect starts to take place. You might be spending more hours at the office or on your laptop working, but you're not getting as much done. You're continually exhausted, and your work is going to suffer, and so will your life.
That's right. Yeah, trying to put in too many hours often just leads to, like, it's like every hour additionally that you put in past whatever your maximum is, like let's say 35, 40 hours for what the average person's working, there's a law of diminishing returns.
Oh, yeah.
And every additional hour, you're less effective. And so it's worth kind of thinking through that. I think a large part of mental health too, Matt, is intellectual satisfaction, right? Like there's this stat recently, and it said that 48% of people who rarely read or write experience faster cognitive decline in old age. And so there's just something magical about being curious. And I think that the more we read and write, the more we're expressing our curiosities. Where writing is essentially like writing, putting down your thoughts on paper, and it's causing us most of the time to think through what we actually think or believe. And when we're reading, we're curious about other people's ideas, what they've gone through, their life experience. And so I think those are really healthy mechanisms for us just to be well-rounded people. There's a quote from Albert Einstein. He once said, "I have no special talents. I'm only passionately curious." And I think maybe that was a little bit too much humility from Albert Einstein, because he definitely had special talents, but he was also just insanely curious. And curiosity is good for our brains, and money is cool, but the world is so much bigger and more fascinating than more dollar bills in your bank account. And so if you're not being exposed to interesting ideas, cool thinkers, fascinating people, then you're just pulling in more dollars. Then I don't think it's a recipe for a life well lived or for like great mental health.
Yeah, so regardless if you're satisfying that intellectual curiosity with your work, or maybe that's something that you're pursuing outside of work in your free time, we would say that you need to strive to make room for that intellectual curiosity component of your life. Joe, let's talk about social health, because if we're working too much in order to get ahead, we might not just be compromising our mental health, our physical health, but we might be compromising our closest relationships. Because, you know, if you're too busy to spend time with your friends and your family, well, that's going to cause strained relationships. That's going to lead to less overall happiness. One study found that seeing a close friend most days is like getting a $100,000 raise. Seriously, this is a this is the result that they were able to measure.
That's another perk of working with your best friend, I guess.
Well, I was going to say, like, I would take the $100,000.
Shut your mouth. You don't even mean that.
No, seriously, there is just so much more to life than just making more money. And another study of 300,000 participants found that a lack of strong relationships led to a 50% increase in premature death from, not from anything specific, but just any kind of disease, which is pretty mind-boggling as well.
And yeah, that connectivity is such a crucial part of our overall health.
Yeah. And here's the thing, too. It's not just these individual relationships that we need, but you need to make sure that you're finding ways to connect meaningfully within a community. And so whether that's like a religious community or just like a community of nerdy board gamers, having a defined attachment to a group of like-minded folks that gathers together physically is important to have proper social health. And, you know, we do believe that this applies to introverts as well. If you are out there, you're listening, and you know that you're an introvert, this is something like literally that you could be as systematic and as intentional about as just putting an event on the calendar. This is something that I've actually done myself because I, in particular, over the pandemic, I found myself, like, I would see you every day here while we were working.
Which is worth at least $100,000 a year.
Yeah. But there's a lot of folks in my life who I wasn't seeing anymore, and I felt that I could feel the effects of that. And so literally every Tuesday evening on my calendar, it says Matt's social, and there's a question mark, and there's a little spot there for somebody else's name that I put in there because I have to be that intentional about making sure that I'm including other people within my life.
And I never make that cut because you see me every day.
And we
hang out outside the podcast.
Yeah, so we do
all the time. But yeah, no, I think that those studies were kind of just super interesting to me, Matt, that's how important human relationship is to us. And some of it can't be quantified in a study. It's kind of unexplainable just how important, how necessary, you know, real human interaction, close human friendship, loving relationships are for us as people. But yeah, if you're focusing too much on money, it can lead to that strained social life or potentially like an almost non-existent one. Like
yeah.
if all of your best friends are work friends, I mean, we're kind of an anomaly here where literally we are each other's work friend and also best friends, but we started off as best friends. But like if you find yourself losing connection to some of those other close friends that you've had over the years because you're spending too much time at the office, that could be a sign that money isn't in its proper place for you. And on the flip side, if you're unwilling maybe to save for a plane ticket to make it home for family Christmas because you want to max out your 401k in order to retire a year sooner.
Got to finish up this project. Yeah. Boss is counting on me.
Got to get to reach financial independence by the time I'm 40 or it was all worthless. Well, you're probably overly focused on money too. So we would say, yeah, be careful not to put relationships on the back burner as you're simultaneously getting your finances in shape. Is the pursuit of financial independence a bad idea? No, of course not. We are fully in support of you doing everything you can in that endeavor. But if you're sacrificing some of the most important things along the way and some of the most important people in your life along the way, if you're losing time out with them regularly because money is dominating, it's taking the number one spot, we would say you got to reconsider. You got to shake things up.
Yeah, and something we mentioned too is that like the actual physical gathering of people is really important, which is really interesting because like compared to like a digital gathering, right? This is something you and I have talked more about recently as the metaverse has kind of come onto line as we're seeing like digital real estate sales booming.
Yeah.
And this is something that we've talked about because we believe that if folks are counting on that space, which is obviously purely digital, to replace and to satisfy some of these needs that we have, I think we are in for a world of hurt because I mean we've already seen with like social media the negative impacts specifically on Gen Z, but when we look to these different forms of what we call social interactions and relationship, when instead what we truly need are in-person interactions where we can see someone face to face, there's just a robustness and a richness that is lost with these digital communities. I think we have to keep in mind how dependent we can be on these different spaces because we want them to complement our actual, you know, in real life, and to make sure that they don't completely replace our day-to-day interactions with people.
Yeah, you might think about the How to Money Facebook group, for instance, and is that a digital group that's worth being in? And we would say, yes, we think it is because people are helping each other out. Like it's a friendly group of people who have a lot of knowledge,
totally,
who can help you make good decisions with your money. But at the same time, like, should that replace your friend group? Probably not. Like,
yeah,
it's insufficient to do that.
Exactly.
Right? And not probably not. Like, definitely not. It really should not come anywhere near replacing what you have in real life with other people. But some of your best friends might not have some of that robust knowledge that the online community can offer. So it's good to dip in there and get that knowledge and participate.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that's the end all be all and that's all you need, right? And Matt, let's move on. Let's talk about one other area where if we over prioritize money, we can get it wrong. And that's when it comes to our spiritual health. And yes, we're going there. And since you've done one How to Money music selection, can you do like a Gregorian chant right now just to hammer this home?
Don't have it in me.
Sorry. That's no worries. But there's a quote, another quote we're going to throw out here. Blaise Pascal once said that all of humanity's problems stem from a person's inability to sit quietly in a room alone. And Matt, as a 100% extrovert, this one hits me hard. Cause
as a 110% extrovert, you mean?
Yeah. I'm like, sitting alone in a room does sound like my form of torture. Like, I had friends that went to a silent retreat over the past year. And I was like, what, you paid to do that? Because you'd have to pay me
to
do that.
Whereas I hear that, I'm like, oh, that sounds relaxing.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that would be really helpful.
Right. So there's obviously like a somewhat of a personal crisis I have to deal with as I kind of figure this one out. But yeah, I feel like speaking of crises, there is a sort of like a crisis of meaning in our country right now. And maybe I'm wrong on this, but it feels like the world of constant virtual connection we were just kind of like talking about often lacks that ability for meaningful connection, and it's zapping our brains. Like, we're all tired, we're all mentally depleted, and we feel less connected and actually more angry at the end of many of those virtual connections.
Sure.
We're constantly striving for connection, but we're missing it because we're looking in the wrong places that can't actually provide it. And so, right. Yeah, I think there's some truth to that, being able to sit quietly alone, like with your thoughts, with a book. That's that reading and writing component is so important, that curiosity, but also just that ability to, if we're talking about spiritual health, not have to always be entertained. And there are often costs that go alongside of that. Monetary costs is actually hurting our ability to be spiritually healthy as people.
Yeah, and we're not explicitly here to tell you to go to church or, you know, or that you should start a daily meditation practice, although, you know, both of those things could be helpful for you. But spirituality seems to be either just non-existent or it is just increasingly vague these days. And so we'd encourage you to not neglect these deeper spiritual aspects of life, these deeper questions, because, you know, like science and reason are great, but they don't fill the meaning void, you know, that we all have within us. I think even just simply getting outside in nature is just one of the best ways to reset and remember that this world, you know, this cosmos that we are in are far bigger than we are. And that can provide helpful orientation when we start to focus too much on something as temporary as money. We just, when our world becomes so narrow and focused that we think our life is this little molehill that we fixated on. And it provides the necessary realization that money is not the answer to every problem we face. And man, one of the ways that prioritizing your spiritual health or prioritizing religion, how that could have a direct impact on our money, is that within a lot of different walks of faith, you're called to give your money away.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, specifically, that's called the tithe. And that's something that our family does. But not only by doing that, not only are you not working more to gain more money, but you're being actively called to give that money away, to, you know, to be parted with that money. So I love that that is a kind of a natural reminder that is built into a lot of different walks of faith, that you should have, you know, take a more open hand approach when it comes to your money as something that we're given and that we should oftentimes freely give back as well.
Yeah, man, I agree. I think not only is like giving our money away in that way good for our soul, it's like good for the way we view money and the role that money plays in our lives. And it just like prevents an extreme attachment that mm-hmm. becomes unhealthy. And so, yeah, I agree. I think that the spiritual side, the physical side, the mental side of our money are all really important. But we have like this litmus test that you and I created that we want people, it's three questions we want people to ask themselves that can help you know whether money is having an outsized influence in your life. We'll get to the HTM litmus test right after this.
We're back. Joel, let's get to that how to money litmus test that you mentioned. We're hoping that these are going to be some helpful filters for you to decide whether you're too focused on money, whether you're neglecting maybe some other important aspects of your life or not. So the first of these, the first question to ask yourself is, does your spending align with your values? It's as simple as that. Because if you're, you know, Scrooge McDuckin' it, and you're only amassing your wealth with a crippling fear of ever spending any of it, you might be too focused on your money.
You're making me think of You Might Be a Redneck If by Jeff Foxworthy. I feel like this is like, you might be too obsessed with money if you can't spend anything ever.
If you're Scrooge McDuckin' it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like we do think that growing your net worth is a great goal to have, but like if you're a personal capital net worth tracker, if that's something that you're obsessed with, if that's something that you check, you know, multiple times a day, you check it in the morning, at noon, right before you go to bed, you've probably gone too far. And so it's crucial to ask yourself if your spending aligns with your values, because, you know, like Joel, like we're both pretty frugal, but over the years I've had to learn this lesson and to try to like loosen my grip on my wallet, on the things that I'm willing to spend money on. By asking that question, it has informed our budget. It has allowed me to just to feel a little more comfortable spending money instead of just squirreling it away. That's one of the reasons I think that budgeting your money is such an important tool, because it's you deciding ahead of time that, you know what, this is something I've decided is important. I'm going to attach a dollar amount to it, knowing that down the road, I'm not going to feel that way. Like, there are going to be times when I'm going to think, you know what, instead, I could just save that. I can put that towards retirement. I could funnel that money towards something else. But it's almost like a way to keep yourself in check with the things that you say that you actually do value.
Yeah, I mean, you and I, we could drink more Miller High Life and less of the good stuff, and we could put more aside for the future. But at some point, there's like diminishing returns for that too, right? And we have to prioritize. That's why we drink a good beer on every episode. One, we like drinking good beer. And like, but the other thing is, I think it is a reminder for us that this is something we actually do care about. We're putting our money where our mouth is when it comes to our spending. And I agree, Matt. Like, at times, I have not done that. And I'm less happy because of it if I'm not putting my money where my mouth is, like while we're saving and investing well for the future. On the other side of that spectrum, though, you might find that you spend money too easily. You're a spendthrift, and you might even forget where your money is going, opting to buy things like spur of the moment, while you're scrolling Instagram or just hopping on Amazon to see what's new. And you quickly forget that you even bought that thing. It's in the back of your closet. Well, you know, consumption per capita has actually grown 65% since the 1980s in the United States. The average garment, Matt, I saw this stat, is only worn 7 times before it's disposed of. And I've talked about this on the show before. Many of the shirts that I wear have actually probably been worn 100 times before I bought them because I get them at the thrift store. But yeah, I think what this means is that our unconscious spending is leading to waste. It's where we're spending money, not where our values lie, but we're spending it willy-nilly without thinking of it. And so yeah, one of the solutions to lavish consumption as a result of overcorrecting is gifting that money to other people.
Right, which leads us to our next question. That's where this next little question comes in, which is, do you give your money away? If you have a really hard time or even an inability to part with any of your money, you likely don't have money in its proper place. Going back to maxing out your 401k, if that is preventing you from giving, you are likely too obsessed. Instead, if you work to prioritize giving, you'll find real benefit in doing so. Again, that's a big part of why we did this cash money giveaway. We wanted to be generous, but you know, it sounded like a lot of fun to help our listeners make an impact right there where they live. I think sometimes giving, like, just like a jump start to something, it may not be a habit that you've already been implementing, but by doing it once, you can kind of get that ball rolling.
Yeah. And I feel like, especially during the pandemic, man, I've heard a lot of people talking about self-care. And it's not that there aren't times where you need to, like, check out from the world and care for yourself and do something that's replenishing for your own like heart and soul. I think that's true, but but caring for others seems to be, from everything I've read, better for everyone involved, including you as the individual. And so, yeah, people report, when you look at studies, being more fulfilled when they help others. And so we wanted to note that if you're a How to Money listener who's mired in credit card debt or student loan debt, we realize it can be difficult to be a giver when you're working your way out of like a financially difficult situation. If you've got like $30,000 worth of credit card debt on the books, then I realize you're probably, you might not be in the position or you might not be ready to give away 10% of your income, but you can start small. You don't have to go big or go home. You can do just a little bit. And so we would say it's important to find ways to be a giver, even if you can only offer just your time right now. Like if that's all you have to offer because your money is so tight, we would say do that. And then have the goal to monetarily support like an organization that you care about as you continue to make your own personal progress towards financial freedom. Your time can go a long way. And honestly, much of the time, it's more important and more meaningful than just writing a check.
Yeah, that's right. You know, monetarily giving, giving some cash is really important, but we don't feel that absolves you of personal responsibility when it comes to how it is that we live our lives.
Still important to love your neighbor and care for them.
Exactly.
And yeah, to reach out to those in need in your direct vicinity.
Totally. So our third question that we want you to ask yourself is, can you let loose and have fun?
On our litmus test. I just wanted to stress, this is the How to Money litmus test.
But removing money from the equation altogether, like, do you know how to enjoy yourself? Because if you are only focused on accomplishments, you know, achieving the next goal that you have in mind in order to maybe earn more money and move up the corporate ladder, you might be neglecting pursuits that you enjoy. And so just think to yourself a little bit right here. Ask yourself if you ever allow yourself to do anything just purely for fun. The term play is just something that, you know, as responsible adults and parents, like, that we feel is only for kids, but in reality it needs to be something that we start incorporating into our own lives as responsible adults. Oftentimes we can focus just too much on the numbers when there need to be some of these unmeasurables, these intangible things that we need to incorporate more into our life. An example I'm thinking of, Patagonia, they let their workers go surfing whenever the waves are really good. Patagonia founder Yvonne, he wrote this manifesto called Let My People Go Surfing, which is super cool. But employees are allowed and even encouraged to drop everything when there's a great set of waves coming in. They also get a delightful Christmas break this year. You probably don't work at Patagonia, chances are, if you're listening to this.
Might be applying right now as we speak.
Seriously, but there's probably very few folks who are employed by that company. Chances aren't high that you work for someone who shares that philosophy, but we feel that this is something worth working towards within our personal lives, you know, giving ourselves the permission to let loose and enjoy the day.
All right, so again, that How to Money litmus test, those three questions are, does your spending align with your values? Do you give money away? And can you let loose and have fun? And I think those are three really helpful questions to kind of pinpoint, where is money? Like, what influence does it have in my life? Is it overly influential? Do I need to let it take a back seat so that I can enjoy the things that provide real meaning and joy in my life? Am I neglecting spiritual habit or, you know, my physical body because I'm so obsessed with financial independence by a certain date or just acquiring more and more? And so hopefully that litmus test points you in the right direction and gives you some thoughts about where you should be heading next. And at the end of the day, Matt, I think I had like one more question that I want people to wrestle with, and it is, what's the job of money? And I think for some people, the way they think of it, or maybe because they haven't thought about it enough, they think it's like to snowball it into as big of a pile as humanly possible. That is one way to go, right? To acquire as much. It's that idea of like the person with the most toys at the end of the day or the end of their life wins.
Well, I mean, I would say that that's not what money is for, but that is something that you can do with money. Yeah. And I think oftentimes people aren't asking themselves the question, what is money for?
Yeah.
They're just looking at, well, what is it able to do? Oh, I've heard about compound interest. I've heard about investing. So I am going to do that with my money without giving much thought to what it is actually for at the end of the day.
Yeah. But you and I, we would say we think that a much better way of thinking about money is, how is it helping you achieve success and happiness in across a variety of areas of your life, like not just one area, right? So that's what we've been talking about in this episode, is having more money actually making you more of a slave to your work, a slave to your desk, or is it causing you to work more than you want, becoming less healthy and hurting your relationships? Or is it giving you more freedom, bringing you more happiness, bring more fun into your week? Ultimately, saving money, it doesn't have to be just about giving you freedom for the last 20 to 30 years of your life. I've always kind of been turned off by that idea that's what you're saving money for. I think it's for so many more reasons than that. It can be about creating more options for you in the here and now, allowing you to take more risks because you've got money in the bank allowing you to do so. Maybe it's extended time off when a baby's born. Maybe it's travel for 3 months at a time with your family when before you could only financially afford to do 1 week. Or you never could think about quitting your job and starting your own business, but now you can because you've saved money. It's allowing you not to just acquire more and more, but it's allowing you to do the things that are the most meaningful.
That's right. Money is a tool. It's a means to an end. It is not the end in and of itself. It's a good perspective to keep when it comes to your money. Joel, let's shift gears, man. Let's get back to the beer that you and I enjoyed during this episode. This one was another one by Tim Blore Brewing Company, and this one was Hey Z. You want to say it? I'll say
it. I don't have any Jay-Z lyrics to spit out right now. I wish I did.
Hey Z, but what were your thoughts on this one?
Okay, so I will say the other thing that the can reminded me of, it kind of has that Saved by the Bell art look. I don't know if you remember.
Oh.
Which I used to watch literally every day when I got home from school.
I feel that a little bit.
It was like my favorite show for a long time. I will say this beer, not my favorite beer. It's not as good as Saved by the Bell was as a show, but it's very good. And it's got that classic New England hazy vibes going on. And so, yeah, big thanks to Ryan for sending this one our way. I'll never turn down a hazy IPA.
I don't know what else you're looking for. Like, I feel like it has all the characteristics of a New England hazy, right? So it's kind of got those floral, fruity notes. It's kind of got that dry hop nature that I typically attribute to like a blue cheese note that oftentimes that dry hopped hazies can have. But overall, if this is a style of beer that you haven't had, if you haven't had a New England hazy before, you're out there in California, we would recommend that you check out Tim Blore Brewing. Look up Hazy. This is a good representation of this style of beer.
Yeah, and I wasn't trying to hate. I was just saying, like, when you think of, I'm very nostalgic for Saved by the Bell in those days coming home.
It's an incredibly high standard.
Yes.
So you're not into like the the college years or the college days. They like did a whole reboot.
I think I was a long time ago.
Did you?
But it's been a while.
While you were watching that, I was at home watching MacGyver, like the original MacGyver, because I loved watching that show.
That totally sounds like your jam.
Way less Saved by the Bell. I feel like it's a perfect snapshot of you and me. You were there watching folks be social on TV, and I was watching this dude all by himself figure out how to, you know, transform a clothesline pin into something that he can, you know, parachute from a building from.
And so. That's you and me. That's best friends in a nutshell, isn't it? All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode. Again, big thanks to Ryan for sending this beer our way. And yeah, for our listeners who want to see that litmus test written out, who want the show notes for this episode, you can find those on our website at howtomoney.com.
That's right. So that's going to be it for this episode. Until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.